Triple M's Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. Thanks to Toolkit Depot. All the top trade brands under one roof with everything you need to get the job done. Shop in store or online. Toolkit Depot. The Rush Hour. Gus Warland, Jude Bolton and Wendell Saylor. This is the Triple M Rush Hour. Rush Hour. Rush Hour.
Sad news across the NRL community.
Yeah, really tough news for everyone. Former New South Wales and Australian Senator Terry Hill has died in the Philippines. It's understood that he passed away from a heart attack. A rugged senator with a colourful background, Hill has been spending more time in the Philippines during recent years working in a charity. And through the show today, boys, we will talk to ex-teammates and give him the tribute that he deserves. Wonderful player, played with you for Australia, mate, and you toured with him. It's a sad afternoon. We didn't know till 2 o'clock when we all met to start organising the show.
Yeah, Tezza, tough competitor, always a life of the party. But it's funny, on the football field, you know, you saw a real sort of aggressive competitor and a bloke who you want to play with. And then when you played against him, it let you know that you're playing against him. And, yeah, it's a sad day, you know. I think he's only 52 and, like, condolences to his family and that. But, you know, no one really hated Terry Hill because, mate, not that you couldn't take him seriously, but he was just so good in a team environment off the field. I remember the 94 tour, which we'll talk about later. He was great in that camp, and Bob Fulton and him got along really well.
That's and stick beautiful. With us all afternoon because we'll get some of his mates and blokes that have toured with him over the journey. The likes of Steve Beaver Menzies will be on the show, as well as John Scandalis. But a tribute now for Terry Hill.
Triple M mourns the loss of one of rugby league's greats, Terry Hill.
Hensler, he looks for Ridge. Hill, he's over.
He debuted for South Sydney way back in 1990, played a year at Easts and a couple at Wests, even spent a couple of years at the Tigers before retiring.
Oh, what a sensational try!
But he's best known for tearing down the sideline at Brookie.
Terry Hill!
For the Manly Sea Eagles.
He's down the right of the ground! They're not going to get him!
He was one of the few guys with the guts to stand up to Gordy Tallis.
Terry Hill and Gordon Tallis having a bit of a dust-up.
He was a legend with or without the ball in hand.
Been taken by Terry Hill.
But he was most famous for that lovable lisp.
Tonight, I smell of imitation. What a night. What a treat we have got. $50 winner from Lowe's, received a $50 voucher. George Begana. How are you, George?
Good, thanks.
Today, the M's raise a full-fisted rugby league salute to a legend, Terry Hill.
Terry Hill! He's down the right of the ground! They're not going to get him! Terry Hill's over! In the corner!
Wonderful rugby league moment here. Inside for Terry Hill! Shot the bottom gate, he'll go out of it!
Time now for this.
The Rush Hours.
Dell, great news. The Penrith skipper Nathan Cleary is now over his hamstring injury. He's been named for this weekend's clash with the Cowboys. But also, we just found out the Jet Cleary, the younger brother of Nathan, has signed a multi-year deal with the Warriors.
Yeah, certainly good to have one of the superstars back, Nathan Cleary. But yeah, Jet Cleary, I've been here for a couple of years. This kid is an absolute star.
What position does he play?
He's in the halves.
Okay.
So, you know, it's probably right decision there. But also, respect to the Warriors coach, because you've got to think outside the box a little bit, thinking, you know, he knows his talent. He's obviously must have worked with him or, you know, seen the talent there.
Well, the Cleary spent a lot of time in New Zealand, of course,
yeah, that's right, yeah,
when Jet, Dad was playing, then coaching.
Right. Yeah, but Andrew Webster, then he's pulled the right rein there. Jet Cleary, good luck to him. But, yeah, that's big multi-year deal.
Good on him. What about Eels captain Clint Gutherson said he was stung to be labelled a part-time player. I'm pretty sure the coach wasn't saying he was a part-time player, no. But the actual players playing for him are just too off and on.
Yeah, I know, but I know what Brad Arthur was saying. You know, he's just saying this team, they play when they want to. Sometimes they check in, they check out. At halftime, mate, they were patting themselves on the back. You know, they probably should have been up more. But then they checked out. That's a part-time footballer. And I'm glad that hurts Clint Gutherson because he is consistently pretty good. He doesn't have too many bad games.
Mate, no one can call Clint Gutherson a part-time footballer.
That's right. But it's good
every
that it,
play.
It's good that it hurts him because if it sees you, it's hurting the captain, and other players
let's
will
see the reaction,
that's exactly right.
Yeah, the reaction's got to come.
Manly, what about, be warned.
Manly, be warned. Yeah, of course, they got him in the first round at CommBank. What about young Canterbury forward Jackson Toppenay has launched legal proceedings against the Bulldogs amid allegations that a punishment he was forced to endure over being late for training with a deprivation of liberty and unlawful corporal punishment.
He had to wrestle the team. Is that right?
Yeah, I think
one after another.
Yeah, I think whether he was late or something happened, but he had to. It was like I think something happened last year. One of the players that they said, you know,
he's after $4 million.
Yeah, I don't think he's. I'm not a lawyer or anything, but like
you're not a lawyer.
No.
God, you disguised that well.
But just in and around football. This has been going on forever and a day where you sort of have to, you know.
Well, you guys tell me. I'm a bloke who's never played football at any sort of standard. Mm. Is this type of corporal punishment, in inverted commas, just something you've got to roll with? Or has he got a point here?
It's not corporal punishment, but I was obviously not there and that sort of things. But you see those sort of things go on and you're trying to create standards and trying to create a hardened team. So there's when people are late for training sessions and things like that, you're trying to set a standard for each other and one in all in. So
especially where the culture's been the last few years, you know, the Doggies and Soreldo's trying to change that culture. So look, mate, it's one of those things where I think it's just a part of football.
Now, Wally Lewis has spoken at the National Press Club in Canberra yesterday, Del, about CTE, and he's called on the federal government to pour more funding in towards dementia and brain injury research. He said, "I'm living with the constant fear and anxiety that I'll let people down. This is my reality and the reality for all those living with dementia." It's pretty sad.
It's a tough one because, you know, we all love Wally. And, mate, when you're growing up, he's the king of, he's the emperor of Lane Park. And I used to sit there and just watch where he's – I work with him at Triple M, obviously he's part of the family. And just to see, like, him, you know, going the way he's going. And my mum had dementia too, so it's something that's close to my heart. So all the best for Wally, but it's good that he's making he's got the platform to do it.
And we've seen the NFL have big payouts over in the US, to their past players as well. So more on this one to watch as well. How'd you lose a digit? How'd you lose a finger?
Well, there's a story coming out of Mexico, which is obviously, when I think of Mexico, I think of beaches, Corona, drinks, everyone having a good time, a little bit of shaking.
Cartels.
Shaking that
boot. Cartels.
Oh, you've gone down the cartel. I've gone down all the, the tourism sort of thing.
Yeah.
Well, out of a gym in Mexico, there's been a fight. One lady thought another lady was taking too much time with the barbells.
Can happen.
They ended up fighting and she ended up losing her finger. The lady bit the other lady's finger off. There's photos of it.
No.
Yep. And when the fingertip.
Because she was taking too long on a machine.
Yep.
You just use another machine, simple as that.
Well, that's how you'd probably think most people would deal with it, but she didn't. She got fired up and she actually took the finger off and it still had the nail with the nail polish on it. It was just sitting
there. Did she get it sewed back on or not?
Let me see. It's uncertain if the doctors were able to reattach the bitten off finger. Mm. The woman was arrested by police. The gym managers told the media that their membership has been cancelled. Oh, no, shit, Sherlock.
Yeah.
And the lady has been charged with assault. And Rosanna, the lady had a finger taken off, is recovering from her injury. So it's a sort of happy ending.
Yeah. I remember doing a golf day one day and I saw Troy Bayliss, the former three-time world superbike champion. And he showed his hand. I know you had an accident on the bike and just the little fingers, like just.
Was he scraping the little finger like on the tarmac?
Well, it landed so hard on the tarmac like it was just.
What about Angus Crichton's lost a finger too, hasn't he?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Was that an injury and then he said, look, I keep breaking it so you may as well just chop it off?
Something like that and they amputated it. So mate, good man, tough.
Have you lost any?
No, I haven't lost any. But you know who did lose a bit of his finger was a good mate of mine, Matt Rogers.
Oh, yeah.
So he was telling us a story one day. We were training and then I said, mate, I've got to ask, what happened? Like, because his nickname is Stumpy, you know? So, mate, Chubbs, what happened to your finger? And
Chubbs?
Yeah, from Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
We got the fake hand.
Anyway, so
the fake hand.
Yeah. He goes, I said, what happened there? He goes, his brother at the time when he's younger, you know when you're young and you spin the wheel on the bike, you know?
Yeah.
And his brother, Donnie Rogers, goes, mate, put your finger in there.
Oh, no.
So Matty Rogers, I don't know what age he was. I think he was young. So as you do, you trust your big brother.
Oh.
And he stuck his finger in there and boom. Yeah.
Oh, it's got to hurt.
Yeah.
Well, they're the stories we want. Give us a call now. How'd you lose your digit?
Yeah.
I'm excited by this.
And no naughty ones, please.
Yeah, exactly. How'd you lose your finger? I've never seen the board light up
honestly,
as much.
Honestly, they're still phoning. Everyone is still phoning. Thank you, because the calls make our listeners make this show. We don't think there's anyone listening to us that actually has a full set of feet and hands at the moment. Anyway, start the ball rolling. G'day, Matt.
It's lit.
G'day, guys. How are you going?
Good mate. What happened?
Mate, about 30 years ago, I was actually playing for the Roosters at the time and I got a job to do some landscaping last minute, early start in the morning and raced to work about 8:15. And by quarter two, I'd cut three toes off in a lawnmower.
Oh, mate.
How, mate? How?
Through your feet? Through not wearing a boot, obviously.
No, I only had running shoes on, bit of a dodgy employer, and he bolted the safety catch up on the side. So in the rain, my foot had slipped in there and just got munched.
Oh, the pain.
Wow.
Actually, mate, believe it or not, didn't hurt, eh? No, I didn't. One of them got sewn back on, but it's just there for decoration pretty much.
Oh,
jeez. Thanks, Matty.
The worst thing is, guys, the two things I got told at the time was I'll never be able to count to 20 again.
Yep. good.
And?
Let's go.
There's two things.
Oh, sorry, mate. Yeah.
We've cut him off.
Oh, let's cut him off, honestly, mate. There. Let's go to Ben there. Ben, how you going, mate?
G'day, don't update yourself.
Good, mate. Tell me, how did you lose?
This is about close. First of all, thoughts of all victims of digits. This is pretty horrific, but a close family friend used to run Perisher Ski Resort back in the 1980s. He was a list manager, and he got the message one night that one of the towers had iced up. And Mr. Packer, who was the owner at the time, didn't like anything being closed, being a man of the people. So he had to go up there late at night in a stinking blizzard and de-ice the tower, i.e. get the cable de-iced from the spinning wheels, which froze it up. Got his finger caught in there and basically got stuck up there, couldn't get his finger out until the cable rocked back in the wind and let him get his finger out.
Oh.
And he had to climb down the tower with, you know, one arm and four fingers, and get on his skidoo in his blizzard and get himself to Kurbo's hospital 100 k's away.
Wow. Well, there's no hospital in Trevor or
Perisher. No, had his hand in a bag of snow and drove that distance 100 k's until he got there. And you reckon the best thing after, go on.
Did he get it on?
They managed to basically just reconstruct it. It's pretty, it's pretty sore and sensitive to this day, 40 years on. But he's a man of the people, and he did his job and keeps doing today.
Amazing.
Good stuff, mate.
Thanks, Ben.
Let's go to Dave in Glenmore Park. Hey, Dave.
G'day, Jude.
How are you, mate? How'd you lose a digit, or your mate?
My mate. A few years ago, we were playing hockey, and we're training at Sutherland Hockey Fields. This is late at night. We're practicing short corner practice, and the boys are trapping the ball, and he's gone to trap the ball, stopped it, blokes hit it. As he's hit it, he's whacked the guy's finger off as well.
The whole finger just came off?
The top of his finger.
Oh, where did it
and
fly
it got
to?
Spinning, it flew in the air, and then there's 20 of us guys walking up the field trying to look for this finger, and we found it, but by the time we got him up to Sutherland Hospital, they couldn't put it back together.
Yeah. Oh.
He's just a stumpy.
Oh, yeah.
And to make matters worse, the bloke who hit his finger, they were related. They're cousins.
Oh.
There you go.
Good one at family Christmas. Thanks, Dave. Let's finish it off, Eastern Creek. G'day, Matty.
Hey, guys. How you going?
Good, mate. How'd you lose your digit?
Mate, it wasn't me. It was an apprentice back in the day when we were butchering. I was hand-mixing sausage batches, and he was on the bandsaw cutting lamb loin chops. And I said to him, I said, mate, you really got to stop talking while you're on the saw. He's like, no, she'll be right. And the saw made a sound that you don't normally hear in a butcher shop. And you come over to me and you said, oh, I think I've cut my finger off. And I said, mate, you haven't cut one off, you've cut two.
Oh, and
to this day, mate, he's never found those fingers. It minced it. Oh. Like the way it cut it, it just minced it into the sawdust.
Oh.
So. Yeah.
Sure didn't go into your sausages you were making across
no,
the...
No, don't talk about that.
No comments.
Thanks, calls Matt. We couldn't get to. Mick Bainbridge is a former Special Forces Commando. He's also the youngest RSL president elected by members across the state. Welcome to the Rush Hour, Mick.
Thanks for having us, fellas.
Mate, absolutely fantastic to have you in the studio. Obviously a massive day for you tomorrow. Can we focus just initially on the youngsters and how much the youngsters have taken on Anzac Day? I remember going with MG... And Triple M took us as part of the Brekkie show years ago to Gallipoli, and we were in Istanbul for a week in the lead up. Every pub, every club, all the streets littered with young Aussies and Kiwis, and then they make the trip down to Gallipoli. It was incredible to see the youngsters take this on.
Absolutely. They're a big part of the day. It's a great way to commemorate the service of those before us, but also to thank our servicemen and women today. Some of them are still across the globe serving us now, so... The more support out there, and it's great for the families because often they're missed in terms of Anzac Day. They're the ones that carry the real burden supporting our servicemen and women. So the more out there, give them a thanks and give them a pat on the back and enjoy the day.
Mate, I didn't realise how important RSL clubs were back in my day up in Serena where I grew up. mate, how important are they, not just, you know, for veterans, but to the community?
Yeah, well, firstly on that, we're separate. We're RSL New South Wales. We're separate to RSL clubs. A lot of people think that they're the welfare arm. So we do care and welfare. They do beer and pokies.
Yep.
I often end up there. I don't mind a beer and a bit of a slap. So, but the welfare side, it's important. We've got 320 sub branches across the state.
Wow.
22,000 aging members, and we need more young members in there so I can better represent them with government, in particular with the finalisation of the Royal Commission this year in October.
Mick, you've sort of called for a bit of a change this Anzac Day, not only just to sort of, you know, commemorate some of the veterans, but also around the families and the impact that serving has on the families as well.
Absolutely. They're there the whole way. Some of these kids in these families have to move schools, you know, 10, 15 times every 2 years. They can post around. Special Forces is a bit different. You're based out of one area, but the families really wear the brunt, and you're finding their loved ones are away and back. It's hard for them to have routine, and in particular when those members transition from defence. So they've got to rebuild themselves as a part of that family, and that family often have their own lifelines they're living, and together we have to help them all turn back in towards the community and be a part of it.
Anzac Day tomorrow, huge day. Everyone's got their own plans. Normally well before you know, light comes up, you want to be in position and so forth for that. What are you going to say tomorrow to yourself about your memories and what you did as part of the armed forces?
Yeah, look, I did four tours of Afghanistan. I was at the Black Hawk crash and a few other significant events. I lived with a warlord on one of my tours, so I had some pretty weird exposures. But for me, the whole story is about the heroes, and those heroes are my mates that I grew up with and went on the field with, and some of them I had to carry off. So, look, it's for them and their families, and there's no shortage of them. So, you know, I'll be remembering all of that. And also, I'm a generational veteran, so remembering what my grandfather as a Tobruk rat did and my other grandfather in the N-class destroyers at Battle of Coral Sea. So it's a big commitment, and it's certainly not about me. It's about the people around me.
What more can governments do, Mick, to support our servicemen and women?
Well, that's a big one. The Royal Commission will have their findings. To be fair, I think we actually have one of the best veteran systems in the world. There's a few hiccups and things we've got to iron out in terms of how they get access and how they get access to treatment. But if you compare it to our first responders, they have incredibly high rates of trauma. And I think that they have to be part of this discussion as well, because if it were not for them, and we've seen it in the last few weeks with heavy hearts, we wouldn't have an Anzac Day without the support of our first responders. So I guess we've got to start looking at it as a community, as a whole and a collective, and we put them together and make sure it works.
Mick, I've known you for 4 or 5 years. Tell us what you've been through personally with your body. I know the head, it's, you know, you've been through a lot. We ask you guys to go to war for us, men and women.
Yeah.
But what's operation and what bodies, what's happened to your body over years?
Well, I'm 39. I turned 40 this year, and they're telling me I've got the rig of a probably 60-plus-year-old. So I've had spinal reconstructions, prosthetics in there, fusions, shoulder recos, knees. You know, I actually sat next to Minnie at the NRL dinner last night, and we've almost had the identical surgeries throughout. And I think there's so many similarities to the young players coming into the game and how they transition from that back into normal jobs. And they might have to exit that career early because of injury. I think it's there's so many parallels. It's spooky. But my injuries, look, when I left, I was diagnosed with PTSD and severe depression. It's a journey, and I think it's probably taught me a lot of lessons along the way, but I know that I treat my mental health like any other injury, so you have to go get a touch-up and a service every now and again, and it keeps it. So I had to lean into that at the time. It wasn't an accepted practice in defence. But I think the game's definitely changing, and they've got a more mature approach to mental health and how we look after each other. And I think, you know, for blokes in particular nowadays, it's, there's a lot going on. So we've got to start looking after each other and doing more. And there's some fantastic charities out there doing that, and be a part of RSL and those charities to lean into it.
Mick, we're forever grateful for those who've served and those who continue to serve. So make sure you get to a Dawn service or for any of the Anzac Day commemorative services, visit rslnewsouthwales.org.au. Mick Bainbridge, thank you so much.
Thanks for having us, fellas.
Thanks, mate. Sure.
Yesterday we were speaking about your jacket, which has been lost. What's the update?
Well, it's not lost, mate. We know it's not lost. Kesha, the singer, I lent it to her when we were doing the TED Talk, right? Mm-hmm, yeah. So I was there. She was cold in the food line. I went, well, I'm about to go and you can have my jacket. We then had a bit of texting back and forth on the interconnecting TED text saying, oh, where are you? I've still got your jacket. Then radio silence, right? So we've searched. We've gone to the convention center, rung them up. I've gone to the info hub at TED. It's not there, which is where I asked her to leave it. Mm. And yesterday, well, we tried to track it down.
Vancouver Convention Centre. This is Matheus speaking.
I was recently at the TED conference. I left my black puffer jacket. It's an XL, a super dry. I wanted to check if it was there.
Okay, let me see if there's anything here with us. TED did have their own lost and found.
Ah.
So nothing actually came for us, but I'm going to check anyways.
Thank you.
Sir, unfortunately, I don't see any found XL puffer jackets.
Now, off the back of that, we asked Nikki, our producer, who's now in studio. G'day, Nikki. How are you?
Hey, guys.
Nikki.
So, Nikki, what is the latest update when it comes to this jacket?
We do have an explosive update. So, yesterday we thought we'd do a little bit of digging through her Instagram.
Well, I hope you didn't slide into her DMs or anything inappropriately.
Well, I did slide into her DMs, but that's another story. So, I've checked and I found this photo of her out on the harbour in a kayak that she went to. So, she was out, was for World Earth Day.
Okay.
And it was after TED.
Yeah.
And so I've had a look at this jacket. I think, geez, that jacket looks quite large on her. And it
could be any jacket, surely. Yeah.
Mate, have a look at that. That is the jacket that is three or four sizes too big.
Yep. That's a puffer vest. Yeah. That's a puffer jacket, sorry.
That is my puffer jacket.
Yeah. That looks like a Gus Wallen jacket.
Is Kesha wearing it back, just throwing it straight in your face?
Yeah, that's all right. You don't need it.
There's another photo here, whale watching. That's my jacket. Have a look at that. That's a massive jacket.
Yeah, it is.
We've actually put them side by side.
It does look warm.
We've done...
It's a very nice warm jacket, yeah.
Yeah. We've done photos of you and her side by side, and we believe it is your jacket.
Okay.
Obviously.
So the jacket is my jacket. Mm. She's now willy-nilly just wearing it.
Yeah.
We need to...
Well, I've reached out to her management. I got hold of his email address and I've reached out to them. I tried calling New York this morning to get through.
Give the man his jacket.
Hopefully,
family heirloom.
Just let her have it.
What are you talking about, mate? My kids bought me this jacket.
Yeah, it's all right, mate. Like, you're not
doing
it.
Have you got no heart, Wendell?
You're not doing it tough.
Oh, but I don't think Kesha's doing it tough either, just quietly. Anyway, I'm glad that she's getting used out of the jacket. That's good. But I'm freezing. Can I get my jacket back?
Well, we'll have an update tomorrow.
Okay, beautiful. Thank you.
NRL cult hero Terry Hill, who sadly passed away at the age of 52, and a legend of the NRL and New South Wales origin and Kangaroos icon.
Yeah, exactly right. We're going to talk to a few of his teammates. Del will tell some stories as well. But this is for you, Terry, and your family.
Triple M mourns the loss of one of rugby league's greats, Terry Hill.
Hensler, he looks for Rich. Hill, he's over.
He debuted for South Sydney way back in 1990, played a year at Easts and a couple at Wests, even spent a couple of years at the Tigers before retiring.
Oh, what a sensational try.
But he's best known for tearing down the sideline at Brookie.
Terry Hill.
For the Manly Sea Eagles. He was one of the few guys with the guts to stand up to Gordy Tallis.
Terry Hill and Gordon Tallis having a bit of a dust-up.
He was a legend with or without the ball in hand.
Then taken by Terry Hill.
But he was most famous for that lovable lisp.
Tonight, I smell of imitation. What a night. What a treat we have got. $50 winner from Lowe's, received a $50 voucher. George Magana. How are you, George?
Good, thanks.
Today, the M's raise a full-fisted rugby league salute to a legend, Terry Hill.
Terry Hill! He's down the right of the ground! They're not going to get him! Terry Hill's over! In the corner!
Wonderful rugby league moments here. Inside for Terry Hill! Shot the bottom, Dave, he'll go out of it!
The atmosphere is electric.
Rest in peace, Terry Hill. As we honour Terry Hill, we thought we'd bring one of the greats in, Steve Menzies. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Hey, boys, how we doing?
Mate, we were okay until we all got together, Beaver, at about 2 o'clock and the news came through and we couldn't believe it. You know, we thought it was April Fool's, and now we've realised that it's true, and a real character and a bloody good footballer has died way too young, mate.
Yeah, it's obviously tragic news. I've got a couple of texts and a few other people have sent it through. It's like, I'm with you guys. It's sort of, you're still in disbelief, you know. Mm. It's hard to fathom, and, you know, you sort of obviously feel for the family as well.
Mate, Beaver, it's, you know, it's quite funny. Like, we look at, you know, Tazza, and whether he was telling a joke or someone's telling a joke on him. Remember on that 94 tour, there was a bloke called, you know, the sheriff and him, mate, they used to team up and just, you know, put a lot of crap on everybody. How good was he, eh?
I was just talking to a few other people, and obviously it's tragic news, but then you start going through the stories and the moments you had with Tazza, and, you know, there's on-field moments. He was a fierce competitor.
Yeah.
You know, like just tough, dedicated, you know, someone you'd want next to them, what you want next to you on the field. But off the field, like you said, he was a larrikin. He loved to laugh. He was always playing pranks and he never stopped talking. Like that's, you'll always remember Tazza in those funny moments because that was his persona when he was, you know, if he wasn't sledging or you know, trying to be physical and dominate. Yep. On the field, that was who he was. He loved having a laugh and being a larrikin.
Any memories from on the field that you can remember him being so dominant?
Well, look, yeah, when I was, you know, those early years and Tazza would play on the centres and he'd run that little out ball and Cliffy would flick it to him and he'd just get on the outside and all I would have to do was see that ball, you know, go in front of me. I'd see that as soon as I saw that ball go in front of me, I'd just start running through the line because I knew Tazza. He was quick in the day. He would get on the outside of his centre, boom, dump into the winger who'd stay out. He'd just draw the fullback, pass it straight inside to me. And it was the same play. And, you know, it was, even if I knew it was coming, it was really difficult to stop. He was, at his best, he was one of the best centres in the world.
When you got a character, you know, like Terry Hill, you forget how bloody good he was. You know, represented New South Wales 14 Origin matches, represented Australia 13 times, World Cups and so forth. He was a hell of a player for many, many clubs, and every club, you know, putting tributes out to him right now, Beaver, because he was such a character, but he was bloody good at footy.
Yeah, he was, and like I said, at his best, he was one of the world's best centres, and there's people that are great players, and then there's people that are characters, and there's people that you want to play with, and you want it in your club, because it bonds the club together, and Tazza was one of those guys that could take the hard work on the field and galvanise people, you know, with that and then have a bit of fun off the field. And that's, you know, it's that type of, those two scenarios that you need to build world-class teams and teams that can win World Cups, that can win premierships. And, you know, there's the guys like that you need around club, footy clubs, and, yeah, he'll be sorely missed.
Hey, Beaver, it's funny, you know, we've all done our little bits and pieces with commercials and that and, you know, on footy shows and that. But on the footy show, I thought he was great. But when he was doing the Lowe's thing too, mate, he just, it was made for him, wasn't it, mate?
The Lowe's, he was a classic at the Lowe's. Yeah. What about when he'd go to the Dogs and he was doing the little, the races to the Dogs, he'd go to Dapto Dogs.
Yeah.
And he would be MC, like he would like do the interview some of the punters and stuff. That was, and he'd have the flash jacket on. That was Tazza. Like that was like, that's classy. Yeah. You know, that's vintage Tazza. It was great stuff.
Yeah.
Well, Steve, we really appreciate you taking time to just, memories of Terry Hill, and just our thoughts go out to his family and all those players that played alongside in the footy community.
Cheers, boys. Thanks for having me.
Good on you.
Beaver Menzies.
Thanks, Beaver.
Three massive games of NRL tomorrow.
The Rush Hours NRL preview.
Yeah, let's talk first up, New Zealand versus the Titans. How's this game even come about, to be honest with you? How are the Titans involved in an Anzac Day clash?
Yeah, I'm not sure, but I'm happy the Warriors are involved because, you know,
of course.
Obviously that Anzac spirit. Yeah, I know that you're right. But
it was always New Zealand Storm, wasn't it?
It's the first time
they've hosted in 9 years.
There you go.
Yeah, look, this is, look, everyone that the Titans lose, they're due for a win, so they need a big upset. This is going to be a tough one to beat the Warriors, you know, obviously around Anzac time. But look, AJ Brimson's their shining light there at fullback, but obviously the Warriors after last week too, you know, they need to bounce back. A little hiccup in the system, but I'm looking forward to this match. It'll be closer than people think.
But you're going for the Warriors?
I'm going for the Warriors. Yeah,
Warriors.
No. Warriors for me too. What about the Dragons versus the Roosters? Traditional Anzac Day clash will be a full house out there.
You'll be there.
At Allianz. Absolutely. Cannot wait. What are your thoughts, big man?
No, this will be a great match. You know, the Dragons are playing some really good football. The Roosters are a bit hot and cold, you know, on form at the moment. You'd think the Roosters, you know, would be playing better football at the moment, but they've had a couple of tough games and opportunities have slipped. And, look, the Dragons are playing really good and they're playing a different style of football. They're playing tough and their supporters now have got a team they can rely on, you know. They've beaten the Warriors, they've beaten Manly. But because it's at home, Allianz, I'm going to go the Roosters in a tight one.
Yep.
Chooks for me.
Chooks for me too. What about the Storm and the Rabbits? Hell of a game. A lot of pressure on the Rabbits, of course, at the moment on their coach. Can they get that win against the Storm, who are just playing beautifully?
Oh, I wouldn't think so. I think the Storm are too professional here. No one does these sort of games better than the Storm, you know. They love an Anzac game. They usually take teams apart. But even the Rabbitohs now, we saw a better effort against the Sharks, but they got to be better again down there because, they need to get some blood. The good thing for them is I think Joy Arrow, I think he returns.
He was gone, wasn't he? Didn't we report that a month ago? He's gone for the season?
Yeah.
He's Lazarus.
17. Yeah, absolutely. No, I'm Storming. Yeah, Storm. Damien Park.
I tell you what, the Storm are playing beautifully this year, and I think they're going to win as well. So they're the three games. And, of course, Anzac Day tomorrow. On Friday's show, we'll go through the rest of the round in the AFL and the NRL.
Today we've had a lot of light and shade in the sense that we're commemorating both Terry Hill and our Anzacs with Anzac Day tomorrow and all those who have served and continue to serve and Mental Fitness Wednesday, Gus.
Yeah, it's a difficult one today, a little bit different, boys. As of this morning, 26 Australian women have died allegedly at the hands of a male predator since January 1. That's 26 since January 1. 11 of those alleged murders have occurred in the last 24 days alone. This has prompted pleas for urgent action, not just at the government level, but for men in total. And I would look at us three. We've been together for a long time. We've been friends for longer than that. I would say that the three of us are good men that try to make every day the best it possibly can, not only for ourselves, but for our friends and family. And we like to put ourselves out there and help as much as possible. Is it time, boys, that we need to be even more on the front foot to make sure that we get it across to good men? 99% of men, the majority of men are doing the right thing. Is it time for us to step up and make sure that we are more vocal when it comes to looking after women in our society, in our community?
Absolutely. Step up and speak up, Del. I think that's where, you know, I sort of look at what's happened at this start of the year, and it's mind-boggling that it continues to happen against women who should feel safe to be able to go to a shopping centre, to be able to go for a run, to be able to, you know, walk to their car and feel the safety and be safe in their own homes. And, you know, whether it's aggrieved partners or mental illness and the like, we need to step up as men individually.
Absolutely. And we've actually got a platform as well. We've got a soapbox that we can stand on, Del.
Yeah, we certainly have. And it breaks my heart where, you know, women, people, you know, not just in our lives, in everyday life, they can't just go to the gym or they, you know, or what was she doing walking in the morning or night, you know, it was to, mate, they're allowed to walk in the morning. Mm. We have to be better as men and we have to not just support but call it out. And I don't think we're calling it out enough, you know. I know it's on our fault sometimes, but if we see something going on, we've got to pull it in the line. It just breaks my heart, you know. My daughter goes to work and then I said, you can always call me, and I said, just be careful on public transport. And she said to me the other night, she goes, Dad, she goes, you're right. She goes, there was a guy on there with a pole, and it just freaked me out. You know, she's 21. Like, how are the women not supposed to be safe, you know? Like, just breaks my heart to see it all the time.
When we came in and started talking about this, you know, our two producers, our bosses on this show are women, and they just said to us, it's actually just a part of our plan now. If I'm going down to the car park, I'm not just on the phone and I'm sort of whistling and singing and stuff. I'm going from A to B. I'm on point because I could be attacked.
Yeah.
That's what they're actually living through. I've got two daughters. You've got two daughters. You've got a daughter. Our daughters, Del, are out and about. They're out in the world. They're traveling by themselves, no parents. At the end of the day, I don't know that. I haven't had that conversation with my daughters to know how they feel about this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm getting right on the blower tonight and having that chat with them because maybe I just take it for granted.
Yeah.
Yep. And then government needs to step up in terms of their bail laws, apprehended violence,
the
orders, the AVOs that need to be absolutely rigid and to not allow this sort of thing to occur, you know, against our women.
Well, at the end of the day, we are right behind it. Whatever we can do to help and use our profile to do it, we will definitely do it. And to all the women in our lives, yep. we absolutely adore you. We love you. And anything you need from us will always be here. Sometimes we just need to be prompted. Sometimes we need to be told what to do. But I tell you what, the three of us in here will fall into line real quick and do whatever we need to do.
And if you or anyone you know needs support, help is available. Call 1-800-RESPECT. We're honouring Terry Hill after this tragic news we found only recently today, and we've got John Skandalis on the phone. John, how are you?
Good, guys. How are you?
Mate, we're good. It was obviously a real shock to us. We were just getting together as a team around 2 o'clock when the news came through, and of course, very, very, very sad. But then we started to remember him not only as a footballer, but what he did to make us laugh so much. What was he like as a teammate?
Oh, mate, I think you'll hear it from most people. He was a bit of a larrikin. He was the life of the party. He came into the, you know, I got to play with, I actually first met Terry when I was playing for SG Ball, West Magpies, and he was at West Magpies in 93, I think it would have been. And he made me feel like I was part of the team even back then. And then when I finally got to play with him in 2000, he hadn't changed. He was that same guy who was upbeat, you know, positive, life of the party, and just, you know, trained hard and played hard, basically. So, yeah, it was a bit of a shock to us as well. You know, I've been trying to contact him. We're celebrating our 25-year anniversary. He was part of our first team, and we're doing a bit of a unit, and, you know, it would have been nice to see him there. But it's just a shock that this news came through today.
Yeah, it is. It's certainly a shock. It's funny, you said about 93 there. In 94, I was on that tour with him and Steve Menzies, and we were quite young. But Tessa, he was just life of the party, mate. Like, he just, one of those guys, brings people together, something going on, he'd be there, and you could just tell all he wanted to do was have good fun and bring people together. What a good bloke he was, wasn't he?
Oh, he was, mate. Like I said, and you know what? And he didn't let that get in, you know, in the way of his footy, because yeah. you know he played for Australia, you said, like you said, Australia, New South Wales. You know, he did. He was the top of the game, best centre in the world at, you know, parts of his career. And but at the same time, he knew how to, you know, bring people together and make them feel great about themselves and just feel welcome to the club and obviously have a good time. But he was up there with the best, and he worked hard at it as well.
John, I think he's one of those players that you start to see through your TVs as well, not only from the footy field, but through some of the footy shows and some of the segments as well, wasn't it? You just got to see the characters away from the footy field.
Yeah, and that's, you know, what you saw in those footy show segments that he did, that was Terry, you know, in real life. It wasn't an act. That was just him. You know, he liked to clown around, and he didn't mind, you know, giving it to people, and he didn't mind getting it back either. So, I experienced that firsthand when I got to play with him. Some of the centres that he came up against, mate, they walked off, not because we beat them, because Terry Hill sprayed them on the field. So, that's what he's known for when you play against Terry. So, yeah, but seeing him on those footy show segments is what Terry Hill was to me anyway. He was just a great guy and great to hang around with.
Skander, have you got any good Terry Hill stories? Because we're going to talk about it later, but the Gordon Tallis situation, I was there. But you got anything funny on Terry or any stories you can tell off the field?
Mate, probably on the one that sticks in my mind with Terry was we were playing in Para, and Jamie Lyon was making his debut for Para, and I remember Terry was just saying, "I don't care what happens with the school. I know he's going to never forget me." And that, when I just mentioned before, he just sprayed players, mate. Jamie Lyon, I think, was the biggest spray all game. And I don't think Terry shut up the whole 80 minutes of the game. And it wasn't that he just kept giving it to him. I think he actually talked him out of his game. And we did win the game. But I have to agree, I don't think Jamie Lyon forgot that welcome to football sort of from Terry Hill ever. That's, you know, real. I remember if you watch the footage back, you can just see Terry just all day spraying him all day. And that's, I would have hated to be against Terry Hill when I was playing, because that's all I would have copped. But there's so many stories coming to training, him talking about his greyhounds. He always had a dog race in the Dapto, and it was always going to win. It was always a winner. So I don't think any of them won, but it was always a winner. And he was a good salesman, because he used to come to train and sell it to the boys, and they'd put money on it, and they'd come back and, wouldn't be very happy after it. So, definitely a legend, mate. definitely a legend.
John, thanks for taking time and sharing some of the memories of Terry Hill.
No worries. Thanks very much.
Condolences, mate.
John Scandalis there. Enjoy your Anzac Day tomorrow. Make sure you get to a dawn service or any of the commemorative services for the Anzac Day.
Exactly right. And Terry Hill, all the stuff about Terry, our memory of him, or the Listen app already with plenty of his old teammates.
Get home safely.
See you later.
See you, everyone.
The Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. Weekdays from 4 on Triple M.